Boy maker.
Yes.
Do you believe he's the healer?
Amen.
Do you believe he's the deliverer?
Amen.
Do you believe that he's already provided everything for you that you need in this life?
Amen.
Then watch sometime how we change things around.
Amen. That's right.
We're going to be using several scriptures tonight. One is from Acts, the second chapter, verses 14 through 21. One is from Romans 12, 1-2. And the last scripture we'll be speaking from tonight is 1 John 3, verses 1 through 3. If I was going to give this a title or anything, I would probably say, if God had opened the door, or if God opened the door,
amen,
why would we go behind God and try to close it? Why would we mess it up? When God has already opened the door, why would we, instead of ministering from a heart of unfringed love, we will put our two sin in it. If you are secure in who you are in Christ Jesus, you will only minister from love and not from doctrine or former teaching if it does not line up with God's word.
Amen.
Have you ever done that?
Yeah.
Or do we do that now? Do we minister from the will of God or from our will? Do you minister from the power or teach from the power of the Holy Spirit? In the book of Acts, on the day of Pentecost, and if you remember when the church had gathered, and the Bible says one thing, it was all on one accord.
Yes, that's right.
The majority of the time when we come together, are we all on one accord?
Yeah.
And how do you think God can move? If you're pulling this way, you're pulling that way, you're pulling that way, you're pulling the other way.
Right.
If you have your own agenda. And notice, when the Holy Spirit came in because of being on one accord, and they were all filled. And notice what Peter got up and said. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, men of Judah and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day, which it would have been 9 o'clock. But this is what was uttered through the prophecy of Joel. And in the last days, it shall be, God declared, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and my female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall turn to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and manifested day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then how did the church get that message twisted?
Amen.
I know how. Because so many ministers have, it has become about our will,
yes,
and not the will of God.
Amen.
Or what kind of stamp will I be able to put on my ministry when my life is over? Or who will I be able to pass this on to? Because, you know, I built this from the ground up. This is mine. And never really say that this is God's. This is what a kingdom Christian calling is.
Yes.
Is to fulfill God's plan for victory in this earth while you're here.
Amen. That's good. That's good.
Do we truly work at fulfilling the victory of God in our lives while we're here on earth? Or is it occupied so much with other things?
Yes.
Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you, brother, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. And notice it says three things here. You should present your body. A living sacrifice first. Mm-hmm. Holy next. And acceptable to God.
Yep.
Which is your reasonable service. Have you truly sacrificed your will to the Lord? Mm-hmm. And the next thing is your lifestyle a holy lifestyle? And have you thought about really giving some deep thought? Is my life acceptable, God?
Yes.
What if God treated us like we treat Him? Mm. Would we feel like that it would be acceptable to us? That God will treat us like we treat Him sometimes. Notice what verse 2 says. And this is where the true problem, not being able to separate God's will from our will,
yes,
or God's kingdom from the worldly doctrine that we get so caught up in. And do not be conformed to this world. Hmm. You know what? You live in this world. You live in this physical world.
Yes.
But we must be led by the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Amen.
And the Holy Spirit has nothing to do with this world, mankind system. They don't even coincide. Because
yes.
God's thoughts are so high and so indifferent from man's thoughts. Man can only visualize what's here right now. But God's vision is eternal. God's vision is progression. God's vision is steadily changing. But notice what it says. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yes.
In other words, my thought process must be the same as Jesus' thought process.
That's right.
Our thought process must become as kingdom sons and daughters. Hmm. We must think. We must react. We must act like Jesus. You see, the thing is, Jesus came here for one reason. For several reasons. Number one was to die on the cross.
Yes.
That we could be reconnected with the Father.
Yes.
The next thing was to show a pattern for us to live by. Right. Do we live by that pattern? You know, I want to say something. Have you ever thought about God's will for kingdom citizens? Have you really, ever really thought about what His will is? And you know what? It's so simple. Feel God's plan for your victory. Have you ever really worked at fulfilling God's plan for the victory that He has prepared in our lives? What does it profit you to gain everything and still lose?
That's right.
What would it profit me and Brother David to have a mega church with all these hundreds of thousands of people and none of them have no victory in their life?
Yes.
That's right. What would it profit you? To have millions and millions of dollars in a church bank account and nobody have victory in their life.
Yes.
You must minister to people with the heart of unfinished love.
Yes.
Quit telling them anything to make them feel good.
Yeah.
That'll make them go in the pocket.
Yes.
But give them the truth.
Yeah.
I remember this brother that had retired. He was a truck driver in Philadelphia, and he had been a minister. And he retired, and he moved down to Williamson, North Carolina. And his sister, her husband had been a truck driver with him. The man had invested his money, had mega managed his money. I mean, and when he died, after working for over 40 years, his wife was totally shocked because he was worth millions. She heard this preach. She took off behind him. Everywhere he went, she was there.
Wow.
Everywhere, all over the United States. She joined Aaron's army, where they had to give a $50,000 pledge. So you got a section in those down front seats. And then one day, her brother asked her, "What did he gain?" She was sick, wore out, for running all over the country, following a pipe dream.
Right. That's right.
A good sounding word. And when he asked her, he said, "You checked your bank account lately?" "No, I've just been going, giving and doing everything." And within 1 year's time, she was a quarter of $1 million poor.
Wow.
What has she gained? The thing is, we must allow the truth to make us free.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
A good word, all it's going to do is make you feel good.
Yep.
But is it ever from breaking the birds? Is it from destroy any else?
Amen.
The one thing in the church, have you truly looked at yourself lately and really seen the condition that you are walking in? Where are you at? Are you walking in an eternal state? Or are you just walking around and around and around in a circle, just existing because you believe the promise? God's doing new things.
Yes.
God's constantly doing new things.
Amen. That's right.
God is not a stagnated God.
Mm-mm.
He's doing new things. You know, it's a new and living way. Are you willing to walk in it? It's a new and living way God has planned. I want you to think about something. Will we walk in the right direction to fulfill God's plan? John, 1 John, the 3rd chapter, verse 1 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father had bestowed on us, that we shall be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it don't know Him."
Right.
Do the world know you? If you're a child of God,
Amen.
You better hope it don't know you. The thing is, God loves us so much.
Yes.
And reason the world don't understand it, because they don't understand unconditional love.
Right.
They don't know what unconditional love is even about. But sometimes, do we as Christians, do we operate also not in unconditional love?
Yes.
Unconditional means no strings attached. None. You know what? I love you just because, no matter what your religion is, no matter what your color is, no matter whatever your ethnic cleansing is, you know what? If God hadn't have loved us like that, most of us would be in a mess.
Yes.
Yeah.
How can I point the finger on you
Amen.
When He's still working on me,
Amen.
Just like He's working on you?
Amen.
You know, we get so caught up in this things about religion and doctrine and everything else. But at the same time, you know what? Do you love a nasty person enough that you'd be willing to go there and sit beside them, put your arm around them, and say, "Brother, so I love you," and they're just as nasty as they can be? Their house look like a hog pen. If you seen the woman that was living in the van with all the rodents, they was originally a pet, and then they took over the whole thing. Could you go hug that woman and tell her you love her?
Yeah, she wasn't in there with the rest,
yeah. Right, that's what I'm talking about. If she happened to be in there with the rest.
No, I ain't say that.
No, okay.
If she was out of the van, I
could have
but
my
father
rest with
the
rest.
What would
be the difference
with the rest? It might bite me.
No weapon formed against you can fall.
Not that, but I wouldn't be saying
this is what I'm getting to. The thing is, we're so concerned about what we see on the outside.
Yeah.
How about what's on the inside?
Yes.
Some of us got the nastiest hearts.
Yes.
That's right. On the inside.
Amen.
And the thing is, if you don't believe your heart is nasty.
Yes.
See, James cleared that right up.
Amen.
James said that little tongue will speak exactly what's in the heart. And you notice, that little tongue upset a forest star.
That's right.
Yes, it will.
But the thing is, how are we going to ever reach them?
Yes.
Unless we give them the true message.
Yes.
Right.
And the true message is,
amen,
Jesus is love.
Yes.
Just like He loved us, just like God loved us, you know what? When are we going to go tell them?
Yeah.
You tell anybody lately? Have you read Acts the 2nd chapter? Did anybody lately what Peter said on the prophet to Joel? And notice what it said. Everybody that heard it.
I say, yeah.
Well, we've come up with all these kind of messages, and then wonder why nobody comes to the altar. When are we going to start telling them about Jesus?
Amen.
When are we going to truly start telling them about Jesus?
Right.
Because the gospel is tell about Jesus.
Yes.
And what He done.
Amen.
What He done. You know, we got all these messages, but do we tell them about Jesus and what He's done? Because see, the thing is, you wonder why there's no evidence of what we preach. But we tell them about everything but Jesus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is there any evidence? Look at the evidence on the day of Pentecost. Everybody was healed. And then what happened? They all became believers. And they all were baptized as a sign that they have became believers.
Mm-hmm.
When the last time have we truly ministered with somebody with unfinished love? And you know, and think about something. Brother Peter, the person who several days before that just denied he had ever seen Jesus, he ever known anything about Him, and everything else.
Yeah.
But notice what happened. It said the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
See, you can't minister, truly minister, without the Holy Spirit being prevalent in your life.
Amen.
You get up there and talk, and you get up there, but it will never be to no effect.
Yes.
That's right.
You know, I like what the Apostle Paul asked John's disciples. He asked them, "You received the Holy Ghost since you believed."
Yeah.
Notice what they said. So they evidently ain't paying no attention the whole time they were walking with John.
Yeah.
And that just goes to show you, most church members never pay no attention
yeah.
to what's being ministered to them. Because they told Paul they hadn't even ever heard about no Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
John had told them he wasn't the Messiah, that was one that was coming after him
yes.
that would fill them with the Holy Spirit and with fire.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
Yeah.
Had they ever heard the message?
No.
And you know what's so bad? You know why so many people don't hear the message today? Because we twist it.
Yeah.
We don't give the message clear. You know, one thing I noticed that wives always tell their husband, you don't hear me. You don't hear me. And I used to wonder, are you telling me I don't hear you and I'm listening to exactly what you say? But you know what? You tell the truth, because it was going right here and right up there, because I didn't want to hear it.
Yeah.
Truly, have you truly heard it?
Amen.
You can't accept something that you can't hear, because it'll never be processed. In closing, notice what the Apostle John said in 1 John 3 and 2. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. That scripture is talking about in the resurrection.
Yeah.
We will truly see the true Messiah. We will truly see Jesus for what He is. And if we are there with Him, we will be truly be like Him. Because trust me, if you don't see Him, you're not like Him.
Yeah.
Verse 3 says, and everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as Jesus is pure.
Yes.
Amen. Have you got rid of the toxic in your body? Have you got rid of the toxic in your spirit? Have you got rid of the toxic? See, the thing is, if your body gets toxified enough, you're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Your body gets toxified with the world, you are back.
Yes, that's right.
The church has got so toxified with the world.
Yeah.
Look in your churches today. How many people are there? Because they're caught up in their own agenda.
Yeah.
I listened one Sunday morning. I happened to be listening to David Jeremiah, and it just astounded me of something he said. He said devout Christians in the state of California, the whole entire state, they've done a survey, and they only attend church twice a month.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that's including Bible study or evening service.
Yes.
Or whatever.
Wow.
What has the church become? Like the world, not like the kingdom.
Yes.
In closing, we who have this hope should live as the Father desires us to live. Will you fulfill the plan that God has, the kingdom of God, for your victory in your life? God bless you.
Amen.
Amen.